Okay, so sing along with us. It's crowded in worship today. She slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why are his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus is the way. Is far away from home. He sheds his coat, quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? High a price for us to pick and choose who should come, and we are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus is the way.
These walls down, but you have called me higher. You have hold me deep, but I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have called me higher, you have called me deep, but I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me. Be safe here in your arms and never leave, never let these walls down. But you have got me higher, you have got me deeper. I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have got me higher, you have got me deeper. I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead. Be yours for all my life. And I will be yours. Oh, I will be yours for all my life. And I will be yours. Oh, I will be yours for all my life. So let your mercy. Your mercy light the path before me. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper. I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper. I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. Oh, but you have called me higher, call me deeper, I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me. You'll lead me.
Join with all nature in manifest.
Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great. Lord, unto me.
You guys did really well because we didn't practice it like that. That's where we're going to end it.
I thought the needle kept jumping back or something.
All our times will come. Here, but soon they're gone. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind and the sun or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, Christian, don't fear the reaper. Gotta take a stand. Don't fear the reaper. We are called to rise. Don't fear the reaper. Is your man. La 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 la.
Children share in the flesh and blood, Jesus likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death, Jesus could destroy the reaper who holds the power of death and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For so is the way God loves the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be courageous? Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Talk a little bit about, in a way, kind of backdoor into the idea of healing, but there's some passages in Scripture, one, a couple from Genesis and a couple from John that I wanted to talk about because I thought they're really interesting. First one, John 11:25, John said unto her, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I was just several of those songs that we sang tonight ties in so well with Sunday. And I misspoke last Sunday when I said the message is about hell. That's next week. Because you have an appointment with death before we face heaven or hell. So we're going to talk about it. We all have an appointment this week. And so we'll get into the into hell on the 15th. Heaven on the 22nd. So, I want to end it on a positive note. So, but it's interesting when you look at that, the misconceptions of it that people have, and even the misconceptions of death. And so, we're going to take a look those Sunday. So, I think it'll be interesting. In Genesis chapter 18, I'm going to read the first 14 verses and talk a little bit about them. But it says, now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees in Mamre, in Hebron, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he raised his eyes and looked up and beheld, three men were standing a little distance from him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass by your servant without stopping to visit. He did not at that time, I think, realize that God was one of those three people. But God was with two angels and those who appeared to him. And he says, please let a little water be brought by one of my servants that you may wash your feet and recline and rest comfortably under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread to refresh and sustain you. And after that, you may go on since you have come to your servant. And they replied, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, get ready. Three measures of fine meal, knead it and bake cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and brought a calf, tender and choice, and gave it to the servant to butcher, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before the man, and he stood before them under the tree while they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years. She was past the age of childbearing, and history says that Abraham was around 100 and Sarah was around 90 years old at this time. So Sarah laughed to herself when she heard the Lord's words, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure and delight, my Lord, being also old. And when she referred to Lord there, she's referring to her husband. talking about him also being old. And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh to herself, saying, shall I really give birth to a child when I am so old? And this is the key verse. Is anything too difficult or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. And I've often thought, when we look at things like that, that laughing is a way of mocking. A lot of times we mock God by what we don't do, oftentimes. And so anyway, her whole response was, is, you got to be kidding me. This is impossible. Abraham realized that one of those three was God, but I don't think she ever realized that as you read the scripture, because had she would not have laughed. And then over to John chapter 11, verses 21 to 23. This is another familiar verse, but it ties in so well with healing. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus told her, your brother will rise. How often we wait for someone to come do what we could have done. And I read something this week, and it was interesting in that some guy says that everyone has the gifts of the Spirit. It may not be manifest in your life at all times, but the nine gifts of the Spirit are available when needed to minister to people. And so when I'm thinking, about here, and reading this, and she said, and Martha says, if you had been here. And I wonder, where's her faith? I would be honest with you, say, where's my faith when I see someone dead? And I've read, books and people that have seen people raised from the dead. I heard a guy today on the radio said his son was raised from the dead. His wife was raised from the dead. And I don't doubt it. But I question my faith, when I see that, just to be honest with you, because it's so amazing. And so what I see there is Martha had felt that if he just come just a few days earlier, then Lazarus would have never died. He could have prevented him from dying. But everything that she said there was, well, it's too late. But what's interesting is that she said, I know whatever you ask God, he will give it to you. But at that point, I don't think she had any idea what Jesus was going to ask God for. She knew that whatever, and she'd been around Jesus enough to know that anything that he asked. But she doesn't say anything. She just simply says he would not have died. She doesn't say anything about would you raise him from the dead? Because I know what Jesus would have said, probably to her, well, why don't you? It probably would have been his response, because that had been his ministry. And the disciples had opportunity so many times, and it just didn't happen. And he had even questioned their faith sometimes. So we look at that, and some things that I jotted down here. And we know that he was deliberately late because he wanted to glorify God in this resurrection. But some questions that came up, and there's about four of them here. One of them was, is God appearing late in our situation? Or whatever situation that we are in, do we feel that God's appearing late? He's taking his sweet little time to get to us. And knowing that in the situation with Lazarus, he got there just at the appointed time? Does he seem to not hear our cries? Is it just one of those things that he's not too interested in Larry, or he's not too interested in anybody, but, you know, he's not interested in people that we know? Are you thinking of throwing in the towel when he doesn't answer prayer, when he's not there, when he doesn't appear in time? And I know there are people that do that. There are people that give up. I had a couple I talked to 2 weeks ago, had lost a son to a drug overdose. And we were talking, and her whole belief was, and she told me right up front, we don't go to church. And I said, okay, you know, but why do, and even for this 24-year-old son of theirs, they did not have a minister do the service. They had his cousin do it. And it seems like there are people that spend their time running from God rather than running to God and trying. And that's going to be one of the points of the Sermon Sunday, is that the judgment seat, you know, we're going to have to show accountability for what we've done. When we face Jesus as a born-again believer, I mean, we're going to heaven, but he's going to say, Debbie, what have you done? He's going to say, Larry, what have you done? And it's almost like you want to start putting your story together. You know, so you got this whole list of things, not that he's not going to already know. Another thing is, and don't we know that he'll intervene in our situation at the right time? Not necessarily at the time that we think, but at the right time. He's always on time. Never late. And unfortunately for many of us, never any too early. The story of Lazarus gives us the whole background and whole belief that life can be restored. It can be restored in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. But one of the things that ends Sunday is going to be that once we die, the decision is made. You know, we got a lot of religions that think that, you know, that we a lot of different things that we'll talk about a couple of them, but we go, you know, that our soul sleeps and a lot of different things, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But one of the things, and when we look at this, is when we die, it's over. You know, I mean, there are no more decisions to make. There's no more opportunities to make. And so as we make decisions, we need to make wise decisions. In John chapter 5, this is the healing of the man at Bethesda. It says, now in Jerusalem near the sheep gate, there is a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos or colonnades. In these porticos lay a great number of people who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down into the pool at appointed seasons and stirred up the water. The first one to go in after the water was stirred was healed of his disease. I'm thinking, if I was in that situation, I'd figure some way of sitting right at the edge of that pool. If I had to beg to get somebody to drag me over there, I would be there, if not sitting in it. There was a certain man there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying, knowing that he had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, and I loved it, do you want to get well? Because there's a lot of people, I think, that are happy getting sympathy for the condition that they're in. I really believe that. And I have known a couple people that are that away. The invalid answered, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me. And I think that's interesting because the first thing he says is, "There, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred." And then while I am coming, even though no one is helping him, you almost think Jesus is going to look at him and say, "Well, just get off of your rear end and get up and get in the water." I mean, I could almost see that when that happened. Someone else steps ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man was healed, recovered his strength, and picked up his pallet and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. The sickness, the disease, no matter what it was obviously had taken over his body to where he didn't think he could move, where he didn't think he could do anything. And he had convinced himself, as I said, I think it was last week, that we let our mind control us rather than letting our spirit control our mind. And it happens to Christians. And non-Christians are definitely obsessed with it because they've not given, you know, obviously God and Jesus an opportunity to get in and to change them. There's back to Genesis chapter 2. There's an interesting passage here. Genesis chapter 2 verses 21 to 23. It's the creation of woman. "So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made, or fashioned or formed into woman, and he brought her and presented her to the man. Then Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" And I think what's interesting there when we look at that is God performed the very first surgery that was ever performed. It doesn't say, you know, not a drop of blood, you know, was shed or anything there. And as he just said, he caused a deep sleep and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh. And so as I look at that, doctors today are discovering things that are amazing. Opportunities to work with people. Opportunities to help people heal. To provide medicine. But all doctors can do is treat the condition. They can't heal it. God is the one that does the healing. So that great physician that we knew and that we talked about here, we see that touched raised Lazarus, that touched this man for 38 years. And I talked to somebody yesterday who said that, you know, "I'm not sure about this healing thing." And I said, "Well, each man to his own, but when you've been healed, then you believe it." And I've told you before, I have been, so I believe it. But I also believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. You know, and there's some people, I grew up in a church that wanted to pick some out. They didn't like that, this one or that one. And why I'm not there? Well, I'm not there because they don't want me, which is okay. But tonight, we you know, I know Todd's not here, but we would definitely want to pray for Todd's quick healing. Again, like I said, I talked to Grant, and he said she's, you know, Robin's still got some issues to deal with, but he was excited about how good she was doing. By the way, Ann answered the phone, and she sounded really good. She really did. So pass that along to you. You sent me that note, Greg, and I can't find it, of somebody that we were going to pray for. And I couldn't, and of course I was telling Scott and Bruce and Greg, I lost two tabs on an Excel spreadsheet today, so no telling where things are at. Two are there and two are missing. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight and we give you thanks for hearing our prayer. We give you thanks, Father, for answering prayer. We give you thanks for providing hope after death, life after death, an eternal time with you. But there are also so many things that we as Christians could do on this earth for your people. And so we reach out to you and ask that you give us great faith to act on your word when we are encountered or confronted with someone that has a need. We know you answer prayer. We just read about Abraham and Sarah and the man that was at the pool of Bethesda and Lazarus. And you told your disciples that greater things than you did, we would do. But we also understand it is that faith that we need, great faith. We need the faith of Jesus to step out and to do things. So, Father, we pray for that faith tonight for ourselves before we pray for others. That what you did on this earth, that we can do it, that people will see you and will see hope, will see salvation. Father, we give you thanks for the word that we heard from Grant today concerning Robin. We give you thanks, Father, that you have brought her through surgery. We're thankful, Father, for the report from Grant today that said that they are more encouraged now than they have been through the whole ordeal. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for Todd and for Tiffany and Gabrielle and Breland, Lord. We thank you for them, and we just pray that Todd's surgery was successful, and we give you thanks for that. We pray for a quick recovery. We pray, Father, that health be restored and that his shoulder has a wholeness and a health to it that he had never experienced before. And Lord, we mentioned Noah, and we know that prayers have been lifted up for that little guy. And so, Lord, we just want to stand with those that have prayed and give you thanks for touching that little boy. We pray, Father, that healing comes without surgery. We pray, Father, that wholeness comes. As you told us in the show, we just read about Noah, that you took a rib and you closed it. Lord, you don't even have to take his lungs. You can just touch him. And we know that, and we believe, Lord, in Jesus' name, that that young little guy will find healing and wholeness and health. Lord, for Ron Asher, we just lift him up. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you arrest this cancer that is in his body, that it is riddling it. We pray, Father, that healing and wholeness come, and the joy and the peace and his life is restored. We thank you, Father, for Jody and for Jan, and we pray, Father, that you continue to encourage them. We're thankful, Father, for Jan's word the other day about not thinking that she would be wearing her winter clothes this year, but how amazing you are. And so, Father, we pray for her, and we pray for Jody, Lord, and we just pray for a greater measure of faith in that woman's life, Lord. We pray, Father, that she can see you healing the MS. And even though she continues to see doctors, it's our prayer that the doctor confirms that healing has taken place. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, for the three that were shared by Nancy, Lord, we lift them up. They need your touch. They need your healing power in their bodies now. And so, Father, we speak healing and health and wholeness into them and into their lives. We pray, Father, that the cancers that are there are arrested, Lord. The issues that are there with the lung is taken care of, Father. The issue with the nerves, that we can relax. We can be calm and rest assured that you have our lives in your hands and that you're watching over us and you're caring for us and protecting us. Lord, we thank you for Bob and for Debbie sharing about his needs. And we just pray, Father, that you continue to strengthen that heart of his. We pray, Father, for the healing and wholeness to come as a result of his gallbladder surgery. Lord, we thank you for touching Linda, touching her leg. We give you thanks, Father, for the faith that is exhibited in your people. Lord, it's simple faith. It's just what you said. We don't have to have a huge amount. We have to have a measure of faith. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the service Sunday and those that will be in attendance. It's going to be a special day. And so we just ask, Lord, that you speak to us. We pray, Father, that as we shared the scripture for the week, that people will read that and will pray about the service, and that they'll come prepared to receive from you. We thank you, Father, for everything that you do. We thank you, Father, for hearing these prayers, touching people's lives, restoring, resurrecting, bringing about new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's just I forget how I want to say this. It's easy when we have been brought up in a church to take things for granted. And for some people, we think that they see things from our perspective, and they really don't. You know, I don't know if Bob's a Christian, but, you know, we prayed for Phyllis, Todd's friend that he used, the friend of his worked for. We don't know their spiritual condition other than what they just shared with us and said that they believe. I have done funerals for people that say they believe, and yet they can't seem to walk away from a casket because they just want to hang on to, I guess, any degree of hope that's there. So as we pray for people's healing, let's also pray for their heart, that they see the heart need. There's, you know, for the Christian, there's going to be a day there's not going to be any pain. And we'd like to have it on earth, and I think we can. But to that non-Christian, and if we don't pray for them, and if we don't encourage them, we don't talk to them, and we don't share with them, we may be the only person that ever has that opportunity to do that. And I just think, I wanted to share that with you. For communion tonight, I did not bring bread in for a reason. And that reason is that Jesus has already healed us. And when, you know, for as far as the broken bread is, he's already healed us. So I didn't bring a loaf in to break, because this is something that we already have. We just need to accept it. Let's pray. Lord, we stand before you with the elements representing your body, representing your blood. And so, Father, as we partake of this communion table tonight, we partake of it in faith for those that we prayed for, believing that you heard our prayer, believing that you're answering our prayer just now. So, Father, this broken bread represents their broken body. But it also represents a healthy and whole body that you took those stripes for. And the cup represents your blood that was shed that we can live forever with no pain. No issues that interfere with anything other than a perfect relationship with you. So, Father, we ask you to bless these elements as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Nancy. Lord, for her heart, for her love for you. Father, for coming in faith and asking for prayer. So, Father, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you touch this left thumb, that you restore it without the need of massage, without the need of anything other than your healing touch. Lord, we are so thankful that you died for us. Thankful, Father, that you took those stripes. And Lord, you have so much for us. Healing is one thing, but you have so many blessings for us. So, Father, we just now we speak healing into Nancy's thumb. We pray, Father, that you've heard our prayer. And Lord, we commit this prayer, we commit this time, and this hope and faith to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you, Father, for help. Thank you, Father, for this this great lady that you have touched tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Keep it going, Brandon.
Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer that's brave. We must make this run successful, from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves that fills the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, there to guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy grace forevermore.
trial, He will cross the bridge of life. See that Christ is your conductor on this lightning train of life. Always mindful of obstruction, do your duty, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Let's exhale every eye till we reach that blissful shore. Across the trestle, spanning joy, swelling time, you will reach the Union Depot into its faithful ride. There you'll be the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son. With a hand of joyous greeting, weary pilgrims, welcome home. Blessed Savior, ever guide us till we reach that blissful shore where we
me up, I get down.